Now, in beginning in the 18th chapter, John says, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a great voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and a hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Let me read on one more verse before coming back to comment. I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Now, what do we have here? In the last several programs in expounding and explaining the 17th chapter of Revelation, we have proved time and again that the great waddling madam who is called Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, is a great, false, universal, religious organization. Now, the seat of that great woman's rulership is described in Revelation 17 and in verse 9. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And read verse 18 of Revelation 17. And the woman which you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, where is there a great mother church who has had concourse with the kings, dictators, emperors, presidents, premiers, prime ministers, elected or whatever, officials, whether they are there as a result of a military coup or through succession, through birth or inheritance of a throne, it doesn't matter. It's talking about the king, and it is usually dealing with an absolute ruler, like a dictator or like an absolute monarch here in the book of Revelation chapter 17. What great city has seven hills where there is a great mother church that rules over the kings of the earth? Verse 18. You can answer that question for yourself out of history. You don't have to have a lot of information or knowledge to determine which church, where is its location, where is its headquarters, what does it do, what about its doctrine, what is the effect of its doctrine on all of the nations of the earth. The Bible gives you a lot of very heavy clues. Now, of course, it says in verse 2 of chapter 17, that the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. I explained that in great detail a couple of times in the past. So what you're dealing with here, Revelation 18 again in verse 3, all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Now, God's word uses illicit sexual relationships as an analogy of nations of the earth which should give their devotion, their allegiance, to God Almighty, which should be worshiping God and Him only, and instead are having concourse with a great, universal, false religious system. He calls that harlotry. You will find many analogies in the Old Testament of how God showed that the Old Covenant was like a marriage relationship. He said of ancient Israel, I became an husband unto them. There are several analogies drawn, like young girls or daughters who were brought up, who were given all of the beautiful jewelry and fine clothing by a benevolent father. There's one of a little girl that was found, a little baby girl that was found almost like a little waif cast aside by the wayside right after birth, and that's actually happened from time to time. We will see heartless mothers abandon maybe an illegitimate child in some cases. I've read of cases where they found babies in garbage cans and heard them crying, where mothers have actually just put them there. Well, here in the Bible, God gives the analogy of ancient Israel in captivity in Egypt, as being analogous to just such a little waif who had been cast aside, just left in a ditch by the side of a road by a heartless mother. Along comes this benevolent grandfather type, sees this little whimpering baby, picks it up, and of course he is pictured here as like an Abraham, let's say, a man of substance, of wealth, not all that old, but a person who would nurture, care for, clean up, give a beautiful home to this young girl, see to her education, give her every consideration possible, let her live the life of a little princess. The years go by, she is given education and culture, her talents and abilities are paid careful and special attention to. She is an artistic and a lovely young thing. The Bible goes on with this analogy through an entire chapter and shows how she finally becomes a young woman. And she has this beautiful, lissome, and yet buxom and full-blown woman's body. And then when the time of the ceremony comes and his benefactor, the great landowner who picked her up as a little waif just in blood and dirt by the side of the road, has given her all of these wonderful blessings. Now she's about 17 or 18. And he looks, and when he is to be her husband, she is out playing the part of a harlot with a lot of crazy neighbors nearby. And the analogy in God's word is very clear, that when he proposed to ancient Israel, he said, I will be your God, and you will be my people. And if you are obedient to my laws, which are set there for your good in the first place, my laws, he explained to them, will give you every great blessing you want. They will protect you from heavy taxation, from military conscription, from being taken over by an enemy country and being transported as slaves into a faraway land. You won't have to worry about being slave laborers. You won't have to worry about an absence of freedom, of your basic human rights. I will protect those for you. I will give you rain in due season. Talk to a farmer and ask him what that would be worth. I will give you, he said, an absence of disease. I will give you longevity of life. I'll give you beautiful, verdant lands and healthy crops and fabulous, healthy, fat cattle. I'll give you wonderful, healthy children. I'll give you long life. I mean, the blessings were just, you know, interminable. There was just no end to the blessings he promised them for their obedience to his laws. Israel said, as if with one voice, all that you, our God, have proposed, we will do. We accept, God, the terms and conditions of your covenant, of your promise with us. They entered into an agreement that was called the Old Covenant. Now, God shows that the people of Israel broke the covenant. The covenant was still extant, but the people were unfaithful, and God drew the analogy of harlotry. He said, I became an husband unto them. But just like a young man proposing to a woman, a wealthy young man who was about to inherit his father's lands and property, a man of noble birth, a man who was like a prince or was going to inherit the throne, and she said, yes, I'll be faithful, you'll be my husband, and I will be absolutely faithful to you and rear your children and keep your home and so on. And then he finds out that she's got lovers all over the neighborhood. Well, that is exactly the analogy that God's word uses. So here in the 17th chapter of Revelation, you see now not the daughter of Zion, not the picture of either Israel in the wilderness nor the New Testament church, but the daughter of Babylon, a fallen church, as it were, a false mystery religion, having concourse with various political systems and economic systems, governments of the earth. So what you have here in chapter 18 and verse 3, when nations have been made drunk with the wine of the wrath of her fornication, it merely means that they have been confused or deceived by political and religious doctrines of this false church. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. That means having concourse, having her representatives right in their capital, sending their representatives to her headquarters. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And remember that the mark of the beast and the number of his name has to do with buying and selling and trading. Remember, we covered that in great detail several chapters ago of how those who do not receive the mark of the beast or the number of his name will not be able to buy or to sell. So you have also a global economic and trading system that is being revealed here, all under the behest and under the control of a universal religious organization ruling over, for a short time, 10 nations in Central Europe, which we covered in great detail in the 17th chapter. Now, it does warn the people of God not to have anything to do with it, to come out of it. It says, come out of her, my people. That means come out of Babylon the Great. And it also means come out of doing what she does, of her religious traditions, of her religious holidays, of her religious liturgical ceremonies, of her various modes and methods of living your life, of rearing your children, of your allegiance. That was all also a very big question when America was about to elect a Catholic president one time. But I've got to break off there for lack of time. You need to think deeply about what these biblical prophecies reveal to you and study them and find out what they mean, and take heed especially to that verse 4 of Revelation 18, come out of Babylon the Great.